Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another episode. I mean, installment. What did I say? To another exciting engagement of our Rav Dessler series, Psychological Ideas Rav Dessler Expressed nearly a century ago, which still resonate and still ring so true and so wonderful. It's an amazing opportunity for us to learn together as Rosh Hashanah quickly approaches. I remember a story about one of the Gedolim who had this minug that whenever he was going to do a mitzvah, whenever a certain mitzvah came around, he would learn the entire Masechta in Shas that dealt with that mitzvah. So right before Rosh Hashanah, he would learn all of Masechta's Rosh Hashanah, and Yuma, and Sukkah, and then he started, why stop there? Every Shabbos, he decided to learn Masechta Shabbos. Now, Masechta Shabbos, if you know, is quite long, over 150 double-sided pages, and that was the price his family had to pay. Every Friday night, he would try to learn half the Masechta in the yeshiva down the block, and he wouldn't come home and start the Friday night meal until 11, almost midnight. And Shabbos morning, same thing. He would stay in the yeshiva learning the other half of Masechta Shabbos, and the family was very, very frustrated. And they kept asking him, can you please not do that? It's really annoying. And he said, okay, I'm going to try. I'm not going to do it anymore. But then when Shabbos came around, he just couldn't help himself. He just had to learn Masechta Shabbos. He couldn't stop. So the family said, we want you to take a neder, a pledge, a promise. Promise us, take a neder, you're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to learn Masechta Shabbos every Shabbos anymore. And he said, fine, I make a neder. I'm not going to violate that. Well, the next Shabbos comes, and it's 9 p.m., 10 p.m., Friday night, and he's not home. So one of the kids goes out down the block to the yeshiva, and lo and behold, their father is sitting there poring over a Gemara. And he comes over and he says, Dad, you promised, you took a neder, you weren't going to learn Masechta Shabbos on Shabbos. He says, no, this isn't Masechta Shabbos. This is Masechta Nedarim. I'm trying to figure out how to undo my promise so I can go back and learn Masechta Shabbos. So we have the idea of Nedarim, the idea of a pledge, things that are more weighty, things that are trying to get us from where we are to where we want to be, the things we're trying to swear off, the things we're trying to take on. I mean, we noted last week how difficult it is, how so much, year after year, the resolutions that we make, which Lahavdil also comes in the secular world for January 1st, the resolutions people make are notoriously unsuccessful. Year after year, we often make the same resolutions and get frustrated. I actually remember one year, I was making my new resolutions on paper for the coming year, and I was curious, after making them, how they compared to the year before. So I went back to an old file, and I found the resolutions from the year before. I pulled it out, and it said, this year I resolve not to make any resolutions. They don't work. I couldn't even keep that one. I couldn't help myself. Still making resolutions. It's almost impossible. During the season, we get caught up. We all want to make resolutions. We all want to have a chance to do better. We all have big goals, and somehow something gets in the way. Something gets in the way. And last week, we described one idea, one thing that Rav Dessler wrote about that gets in the way, and that is the step before Kabbalah ala Asid, which is making promises, making pledges for the future, and that is Charata. True, proper regret, which we called guilt, the sense of truly feeling like things have to change. If we don't really feel things have to change, then our pledges are insincere. They're not real. Because we don't feel like life can't continue as it is right now, we like to think we can do better, we want to do better, but we don't really feel that pull. We don't really feel that sense of discomfort of life can't continue this way. So that is one idea. Hopefully over the last week, we had a chance to introspect, to think, what about my life over the last months, years, whatever, has been uncomfortable, that I really this change needs to be made. Today we're going to talk about, in Rav Dessler's eyes, some other ideas of why Kabbalos are notoriously unsuccessful, and then some very, very practical ideas how we can make true, proper Kabbalos, what I like to call the resolution for resolutions, actually resolving to make better resolutions. Little show and tell, first of all. I found a new sefer, which is also called Michtav Me'Eliyahu, but it is not the classic five-volume one that you've probably seen before. This is Michtav Me'Eliyahu on Chodesh Elul. There's two volumes, one on El on Rosh Hashanah. This volume is on Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, a very beautiful set that really pulls from all the different volumes of Rav Dessler, also his own letters that he wrote to people, and also his Talmidim's writing. So really, most of it is still taken from Rav Dessler's actual words. And we'll read together different excerpts that I put together on the sheet. We'll see how Rav Dessler talks about what goes wrong, why Kabbalos are often properly motivated, but not set up in a way that's going to lead to success. I'll share the screen. Then we'll be on our way. Can we see this? Yes. Okay. So again, ignore the printed page numbers. I just labeled them haphazardly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we'll go like that. Listen to this beautiful perspective. Something that's lacking when it comes to nedarim, our pledges, why they go wrong. The bottom of the page. Shmiras ahova v'lo hashkatas hamatzpun. Rav Dessler calls We have to try to pay attention to what's going on in the present and not just trying to ease our consciences. In the first paragraph here, he quotes from Maseches Nedarim, which we mentioned before, the idea that Chazal are ambivalent about Nedarim. In some sense, Chazal say great things about Nedarim. They're wonderful, but Chazal also refer to Rishayim as the ones who keep making empty promises. Nedarim are bad. Chazal aren't so clear about when are Nedarim good, when are Nedarim bad. Look at the last paragraph on this page. Be'er HaDvarim Hu. Rav Dassler explains when are Nedarim good and when are they not good. Shenedavos, Hainu HaNedarim HaRetsuyim. Which types of pledges and promises and kabbalos are good? Heim HaNasim B'Hachlata Gemura V'Amitis. Things that are made with true, honest decision, with real, honest commitment. Shemishtamesh Ha'adam B'Neder. A person uses the value of making a pledge, a promise. Person tries to take what he is experiencing in that moment and trying to concretize it and make it real. I love this following line so much. Listen to this line. Ulam yesh b'nei adam haborchim mehahove. There are people who escape from the present, umefayisim es matzpunam, and they just seek to appease their consciences. B'mashem avtichim shiyasu ba'atid. They appease their consciences by just assuring themselves, other people, the world, that they're going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to read that again. It's such a powerful line. Ulam yesh b'nei adam haborchim me'ahove, people looking to escape the pain and the pressure of the present. Umefayisim es matzpunam, they just ease their consciences. B'mashem avtichim shiyasu ba'atid. People are lazy. People just don't want to have to deal with a problem today. And sometimes when people say, I'm making this whole plan, tomorrow the diet starts. What they're really getting at is, the diet doesn't start today. It sounds better for our consciences to say, the diet starts tomorrow, than the diet does not start today. Tomorrow, a new week, Sunday, the diet begins. Oh wait, I had a donut for breakfast. Next Sunday, the diet begins. Which is another way of saying, this week, the diet does not begin. But I can't say to myself, I'm not going to diet this week. I know I really, really need to diet this week. So I say, next week I have a whole plan. Here's how it's going to work. Here's how it's going to break down. I even have a whole schedule for myself. And I'm signed up for this gym. And all these things are in place for next week, for tomorrow, for whatever else, just not now. He continues, Va'az barur shelo yikaimu li'olam. When a person makes a pledge, and it started with, from now on, or starting tomorrow, you could be sure that that neder is not going to last. V'hainu k'nidri rishon, that is what Chazal say is the bad type of neder. He continues on the next page, page number 2. Tzarech ha'adam sheyishmor sheyia ikar hashtadluso b'avodas Hashem behove. A person really needs to think about how he can station avodas Hashem in the present and apply it now. V'lo lachshov machshavos v'la'asov sedarim al ha'asid. And not just to spend the whole now thinking how he or she is going to be better in the future. Kfar Kasav, we said in the previous page, Sha'osa Siddharam al Ha'asid, who bevchinas nidre rishayim, a person who makes pledges just as a way to not deal with it right now, to not feel so guilty that they're not studying right now, they can spend their whole study hour making up a study plan for tomorrow so they can goof off right now. That is not a good plan. That is not a good commitment to what's going on tomorrow. Because you're just doing it to ease your conscience so you can keep goofing off today. Heinrichem is stopping b'dimyono. He satisfies himself with the imagination al ha'asid by picturing what's going to be like next time. And in that way, he could ease himself from having to worry about it right now. Kol ha'atzalim osim sedarim al machar. Lazy people make plans for tomorrow. Rak b'shvil sheyuchlu lehisatzel hayom, so they can continue being lazy today. What a fantastic line. Lazy people make lots of plans for the future so they can continue being lazy in the moment. Question?
Let's say the person actually does actually do what they're planning to do.
Right.
And say, let's say next Sunday we're going to start the diet. The idea of planning is not so bad.
Excellent. So the question has been raised. Look, sometimes people really can't start a diet right now and they're making a plan for the future. Good. So we're going to have to talk about planning obviously has a role. We're going to talk about when is it a proper Kabbalah, when is it a proper Neder. But he's just pointing out, the person who consistently pushes it off and pushes it off, there's perhaps one motivation here of just, I don't want to deal with this today. Absolutely. We're going to have to deal with the question of, so then what makes a good plan, and what makes something actually real? He continues. So that's one problem with the future. Person just says, it's a problem for tomorrow. Then he continues. In addition to this, Tavs gedola tolem osei hasadaram ala us. There's another problem when people just plan for the future. Plan for the future. You know what the problem is? L'mashal, it gives an analogy. Mishu chola b'machalas itim chalim v'itim shota. There is a disease described in the Gemara, which actually is not so far off from a kind of condition we can imagine nowadays, where a person has periods of lucidity, of clarity, but a person also has periods of insanity, where they're out of their minds and make bad decisions, and they're not able to think clearly. They waver back and forth, they have periods, they have bouts of clarity, and periods of inclarity. U'bishas hayosu chalim. And when this person is well, higia elav mamon harbe, he comes in contact with a great sum of money. Halo bevadai yachshosh ki kishtagia shas shetuso b'lo yaven erech hamamon. Now that he's well and he has this money, he's got to worry in a few hours or a few days or whenever he next lapses into a state of psychosis. He's not going to, in that moment, care or know about what the money is worth. Aluluhu lizrok hala'a o lizrof o eskaspo. He might just throw it out the window, or flush it down the toilet, or burn it. He doesn't know. When he loses his mind, when he's not able to think clearly, who knows what he'll do? Ma'alav la'asos. What can he do now while he's still clear? Limsor ha'mamon l'shomer bari. To give over the money to someone else to watch the person who is healthy and of clear and sound mind, and to give him the instructions, sheyishma la'asher yitzavenu rak kishayiya chalim velo kishayiya shoteh. Best thing you could do, yes, absolutely, have an administrator in charge of the money and say, if I ever walk in here and it appears that I'm out of my mind, don't listen to anything I tell you. You may only give me back this money if I seem to be of sound mind. If I come in here and I'm asking to take all this money to go on an insane skydiving expedition, don't listen to me. Only give me this money when I'm in a period of clarity. Then he says, on the next paragraph, Mamash kein hu kol ha'adam. Each and every single one of us is like this person who has moments of clarity and moments of insanity. Halo alav ladash matzav rucho mishtana tadir. Our mindset changes all the time. Umash meivin achshav lo yevin acharkach. What makes sense to me now, what my resolve is now, will not be the same the next time I'm struggling. Ushi yigbar. Yitzro, and when he enters a period again where the challenge arises, yachnis bo ruach shtus, whether it's literal insanity or just a sense of not being able to control oneself, uveshaita de yetzer hara, less man de dacher le yetzer ato. Chazal have an expression, also in Maseches Nedarim, in the throes, in the heat of the power of the yetzer hara, a person doesn't even remember that he has a yetzer hatov. V'yia ka'adam acher mamish. He's like a different person. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Or whatever example you want to give. The imkain ech yachshov lo machshavos v'sedarim sheyakayem bi'asid. How can a person just keep making plans and pledges when they're not in that state? Ein ze ela ta'us gedola. It is a total farce. Asher hayetzer hara hu asher yachshilenu ba. That the yetzer hara makes you think you're making a good plan. So let's give an example. A person says, every time I go to weddings, I overeat. I get to that shmorg. I can't help myself. I eat until my heart starts to hurt. I get home that night. I feel sick. And I vow to myself in that moment, I will never do that again. Never. And he really means it. He's sincere. In that moment, he says, I feel sick. I feel awful. My clothes don't fit. I will never do this again. And then it's West Ham, so it's a wedding the next night, Baruch Hashem. So he goes the next night to a wedding. And again, he gets there and he's starving. And again, he eats because that's what's there and all these different stuff. And he says, it'll be fine. And he overeats again, and he gets home, and he's lying on the bathroom floor, and he feels sick again. And he says, okay, but seriously, seriously, never again. Until he goes to the next wedding, and guess what happens? So what's happening over here? Are we frozen on Zoom? We're good? We're good. So what's happening over here? Are his promises insincere? Are his plans disingenuous? Does he really not feel on the bathroom floor that things have to change? Does he really not believe that he has to do better to feel better? That's not the problem. The problem is not that he doesn't mean it in those moments. The problem is that he's going through different waves of mindsets. The way he believes and feels on the bathroom floor is very different when walking with that plate down the shmork. He's a different person. He has different values. Different things are important to him. And the decisions that he makes when he's lucid, when he's clear, when he's motivated, will not help when he's in the throes of another challenge. Another example, a person who struggles and wastes time at night on the internet surfing and doing ridiculous things and then being up all night, being exhausted the next morning. And as they drag themselves down the stairs, they say, tomorrow I'm going to go to bed early. Enough wasting time, enough being silly. I really need to go to sleep early. And the next night, well, it's just this video. And then, well, recommended videos, I got to see that. It was just for me, recommended just for me. YouTube really believes this is what I need to see. So I need to click on the next video and the next video. And then next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, another bad night of sleep or lack thereof. So what's going wrong? Are they not really tired the next morning? The answer is that a person is not in the same mindset in the challenge of entertainment or the challenge of food as they are later when they're feeling sick or when they're feeling tired. The right thing to do is not to make decisions, like we said over here. The goal is not to make decisions that make sense to you only when you're clear-headed. Because the next time you go through a bout of insanity and you still have that money, you're throwing it out the window. The goal is to make changes now that will be able to withstand and last even in a moment of weakness, even when you're the other person, when you're in the other persona, when you're in the other mindset. The commitment in one moment does not necessarily translate to the other moment. So two things. Number one, it means setting things in place, like the shomer, like the administrator in charge of the money. If you set someone in charge of you, like a spouse or someone else, to say, let's get there only after the shmorg, that could actually work. You made a plan when feeling sick or feeling tired, make sure to take away my computer after 11 p.m. Or they actually have a feature on the phone where someone else has your passcode and they can lock your phone after a certain hour. So do that. You put something in place when you're feeling motivated in a moment of clarity that will sustain and last even then. You also want to think, what's my mindset going to be in that challenging moment? It doesn't help to think as you are thinking now how you're going to think tomorrow. You have to actually get in that mindset. You have to say, what's going to be a challenge tomorrow? If I go to this place, maybe if I eat a snack before I leave the house, I won't be as starving and I won't pig out as much. That's getting in the mindset of tomorrow. Today you feel sick as a dog, so you don't have to worry about anything because you can't touch any food, you can't look at any food. But tomorrow you're not going to be in that mindset. So think, tomorrow, next week, next wedding, next month, what's actually going to help me? He continues, V'amru Chazal, al ta'amin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, don't trust yourself until the end of your life. You never know, you can change, people can change. Now, simply speaking, Chazal apply this to this idea, a person can go off the derech, a person could be swayed by terrible things, even if they've been from for a very long time. But he says, applying it to our circumstances, u'bevadai ein hakavana, rak le'enyen ha'espaschus min hakatze la'katze kemo Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It's not just like going off the derech completely, Chazal are saying, you know, you never can be too from. Elagam bevchina pshuta, even just very simple applications. Alanu lahamin ba'avtachoseinu al ha'asid ki anu harei mishtanim tadir. We cannot rely on these laurels. We cannot rely on this sense of, I really meant it. I really truly believe it. I'm really sincerely upset with myself. I don't want to go back there again, so I can trust myself. Chazal say, don't trust yourself. You know why? Because sometimes you're not yourself. Sometimes you're not yourself. Is that a Snickers commercial? Sometimes you're not yourself when you're hungry, right? Sometimes you're a different person. You're a different beast. Ulam misha yachbots lehischazek be'emes. Person who truly wants to overcome. Alav lishmores ahova. Pay attention to what's happening now. Yishtadl b'kol kocho shel lahasiach daito af rega mahalichruchu atov shehubo ata. Think about what makes sense now and apply it for what's going to make sense tomorrow. V'rak b'shmira mehesach hadas. If you stop yourself from procrastinating and pushing it off, after lenatzeach es yitzhar, we can actually beat the yitzhar. So we've now, based on last week, and now we added a couple more today, we're starting to understand why Kabbalos are unsuccessful. Because people are inspired. So what, number one, from last week we said, people forget to actually introspect and truly feel like they're stuck, that they're truly missing something. They truly have to get better because they can't live like this any longer. Number two, we said today, when a person is making empty promises and they're empty because there's just this sense of, I need to goof off right now, but I'll be okay because tomorrow I have a study plan, tomorrow I have a diet plan, I'll work it out next time. And number three, resolutions don't work because we're not thinking in the mindset of when we struggle. We're thinking of how we feel now when we're standing in shul. I'll never do that again. I'll never say that again. I'll never go here again. I'll never. Now you'll never, because now you would never. But what about the other you? The you that struggles with this all the time. You have to get in the mindset of what's going to be real, what's going to be effective with the real me, what's going to actually be effective when I truly need it. That is two and three of concerns why, and already teaching us a little bit about what it would take to make proper Kabbalas. Look at the next page, on the bottom of the page. Here's another concern. Here's another reason why Kabbalos tend to be unsuccessful. Pledges don't tend to work. On the bottom of the page. L'fi dargas ha'adam The choices that we make in terms of what we're taking on has to be realistic for each person's own level and what they're up to. Where it's underlined. Hamakavel al atzmo kabalos b'tshuvaso. Tzarech lihizaher ma'od. When a person is taking on pledges, pay great attention. Shetiena lefi madrigaso. That they're appropriate for where you're up to in life. Ki im yakbots lamala mimadrigaso. What happens if you try to climb too many stairs at once? Too many rungs at once? Not only are you not going to be successful at reaching and attaining the higher levels, but you may even lose what you had before. You're going to give up and say, you see, I can't make change. You see, I can't ever do better. Because look, I try year after year after year. Well, maybe you're taking on too much. Maybe what you're trying to change yourself in 1 year or 1 day or one minute is not realistic. He says, Emkiyah. His overruse of a shiifasal etshuva v'charatas al chataav. Even though when it comes to inspiration, when it comes to the feeling bad, feeling my life is a mess right now, tzrichim liyos kitzonim b'tachlis. We have to be absolutely extreme. The feeling has to be extreme. The desire to change has to be extreme. The willingness and the desire to be better have to be extreme. We're not striving for mediocrity. You know what? I'm so inspired by this drasha, by this shir, by this event, by this whatever. I want to be just a little bit better. No one says that. The inspiration, the drive, has to be to the extreme. I want to be the best. I want to grow exponentially. That's in the drive, and that's appropriate. However, Mikal Malkam, he continues, Achar kach adarab. You have to walk yourself back. Hutzarech lechapot es atzmo. He has to actually overcome himself, reel himself in. Shelo yakabel alav yoser midai bevasachas, not to take on too much at once. Otherwise, it won't last. It'll only last if you take on something small, something measurable. The kachat sarach lahargesh, he continues, this person has to keep in mind, I am striving, I'm driving for the greatest, the extreme, the best, but I'm holding myself back. Where it's cut off, I didn't give you the continuation, but he says, in all mitzvos, a person feels, I want to do great. And Chazal say, don't spend more than a fifth on your mitzvos. When it comes to hiddur mitzvah, having a nice lulav or esrog, don't spend more than a third. You can't spend too much on mitzvahs. Because sometimes you try to talk people down from making these big grand gestures, these big grand kabbalas. And you say, what if you just work on a little something instead of working on better davening? Because part of this idea about taking on too much is not just taking on too much, but it's so vague. Our kabbalas tend to be very vague. I want to daven better. What does davening better mean? How are we supposed to know if you're being successful? By what measure are we going to tell if you have met this goal or not? I want to speak less Lashon Hara. Less Lashon Hara than who? What does that even mean? Less Lashon Hara. How are you going to tell at the end of the day, am I a step closer or not closer to this goal? I want to learn more. What does that mean? How are you going to tell? Are you tracking yourself? Are you keeping track? I want to learn better. Be more kind. More kind at, what does that mean? More than what? More than before. How are you supposed to gauge that? We take on too much, and we're not specific about what we're trying to do. And everything falls out, and we say, you see, I can't change. What's the point? It's a waste. Year after year after year, I try to work on my kavana, and nothing happens. Try to learn more, nothing happens. Do more chesed, doesn't happen. Be kinder to my kids. What does it mean, be kinder to your kids? How are you going to know if you're being kinder to your kids when you look back 3 months later? By what barometer, by what measure are you going to gauge success? How can you tell? We take on too much. The passion has to be there. It has to start with, I want to be a completely different person. I want to learn more. Fantastic. With the vision, with the drive, start with the extreme. I want to be kinder and more patient. Absolutely. With the drive and the vision, start with the extreme. But now you have to walk it back and pick something small. And what if your Kabbalah looks something like, I want to daven better. I want to have more Kavana. I want to have more Kavana. I want to pay attention during the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. First bracha Shmona Esrei, one tefillah a day. The first word of one Shmona Esrei a day. What? That's it? That's nothing. I need to daven better all the davening. Because I have an expression, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Try to grab too much, you get nothing. Tafasta muat, tafasta. If you can grab something small, take hold of it. So do a nothing. Do a nothing today, and a nothing tomorrow. And nothing the next day. Next thing you know, you've taken on a serious Kabbalah, which aside from having value in whatever it is you've done successfully, proves to yourself, I can make change. I can get better. Because I've done this. Because I started small. And I was specific. I'm able to gauge it. Speaking less Lashon Hara. Too vague. Too abstract. I'm breaking it down. I'm going to learn Shmiras HaLashon every single day. Now we're going to break that down. I'm going to learn Shmiras HaLashon for 5 minutes once a day. I'm going to learn Shmiras HaLashon 5 minutes, one day just on Shabbos. What? But that's nothing. Good. So do nothing. Do a couple of nothings for a while and see how good it feels to make change. I can say to myself that I have in mind, in the first bracha Shmona Esrei, the word Atah. The first Atah. Maybe I'll even point when I say Atah. To remind myself I'm standing in front of Hashem. Baruch Atah. I'm talking to Hashem, second person. That's it. That's meaningful. I can say, did I point or did I not point today? And I'm making it small. One tefillah, once a day. Did I point, yes or no? I'm going to take a deep breath before starting Shmona Esrei. That way I clear my mind. I could say, did I do it? Did I not do it? I'm making it small. I'm making it reasonable. I'm making it specific and actionable. A person has the ability to break something down to the point where we can say yes or no. And we can say, did I grow a little bit today? Was I able to meet this goal? Let's keep going. So far, we have this idea, right? We have this idea that Kabbalists are unsuccessful because we're not sincere. We're just procrastinating the present. We're not thinking about my actual mindset in the throes of the challenge. And they're too much. They're too vague, which already gives us an inkling of how to overcome, how to be successful. Our Kabbalists have to be with Charata, truly feeling like change has to happen, being realistic with our goals of what makes sense, not just to push it off till tomorrow, but actually think, what do I need now? Thinking about future challenges that actually can come up and how a person plans to avoid them, and to make small, definable, measurable steps toward that change. Then, on top of all that, our resolutions are small, they're realistic, they're specific, and they're very much in line with what we need now and how we're going to feel tomorrow. Then he adds another factor, a beautiful way to complement and support all of our pledges. On page 4. He gives some wonderful advice. Ha'etza, yasa atma muchrach. Person should make himself or herself forced. Force yourself to do the mitzvah. Make no way out. What does that mean? Matzina b'chazal ki mutar la'adam li'yishava lekayim mitzvah. Again, sometimes making the Nedarim is a good thing. Deshari leila inish, lezruzi nafshe, a quote from Maseches Nedarim. Even though Nedarim could be bad, a person making promises that they're not keeping. No, a person is allowed to make a neder to encourage him or herself to fulfill a mitzvah. The Kasav Haran, one of the Rishonim, the Ran in the 1300s, explains, v'afilu ksherim shenimnoim yishuvua, even people who normally don't want to make promises, because promises might be broken, nishboyin hein, b'kach, they're allowed to make promises to keep mitzvos, shenamar nishbati v'chayema, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I made a promise, I was able to keep it. Kolomar sharei David haya osakein, David HaMelech himself did that. Heinu Rasser explains, Shem Adam Roa Shem Mitzvah Mesuyemes Rafa Hibiado. A certain mitzvah is not easy to fulfill. A person constantly struggles with a certain mitzvah or a certain avera. Yachol Yishava Lekaima. A person can take on the extra status of a neder on top of that mitzvah to make it binding on another level. Al Yedeza Osas Atmo Kimuchrach Aleha. Then a person becomes obligated to do it. Ki Emas Shavua Allah. The fear of violating his promises upon him. Meaning a person is obligated to put on tefillin every single day. But a person who makes a promise, a neder, a very serious thing to make a neder. In fact, as we approach Rosh Hashanah, we're so scared of our nedarim, we're going to do Ataras nedarim before Rosh Hashanah. Kol nidrei, we're going to get rid of all of our nedarim because we're so nervous. Nedarim are a very scary thing. If it's not enough for us just to have the commandment of wearing tefillin, by taking on a neder, a person can take it to the next level. He adds in brackets over here, obviously, if a person is really struggling day to day, don't do this because you're going to violate your neder. But a person who's doing okay and just wants the neder to support it, it makes a lot of sense. Now, if you think about this, we already know this intuitively. I think I saw this in the Reader's Digest a long time ago. There was a story of a person who was a Jewish person in a supermarket, and he sees this Asian woman with her children, and the kid is reaching for the shelf to take some candy, and the mother says, don't take that, that's not kosher. Family doesn't look Jewish. So he goes over to the woman and he says, excuse me, do you mind me asking, are you Jewish? She says, no. He says, why did you tell your kids that the food is not kosher? She says, I don't know, they don't listen to me. When I see Jewish parents in the supermarket telling their kids food is not kosher, the kids back off, they don't put up a complaint. How many times have you had that struggle when it comes to going to the store and you have this desire to eat something sweet, but if it's not kosher, the challenge goes away? Or at night, you're struggling with, should I have ice cream, not to have ice cream, and then you realize, oh, I'm fleishig. Suddenly, Challenge goes away. Why? Because off limits. It's not an option. It's never an option. You have high cholesterol. You shouldn't be eating this anyway. No, no. Not one bite's going to kill me. I mean, who knows? But also, I know I shouldn't, but in the moment, it's hard for me. But if it's off limits, if it's not kosher, if I'm fleishig, well, then it's nothing to talk about. Game over. A nether has that power because it says, it's over. I can't have that. It's not an option. I made this sandwich into treif. It's like hektish. It's off limits. I can't have it. There's nothing to talk about. That is the value of a nether. Now, we're not going to take on actual nedarim, formal nedarim, because like we said, during this time of year, we're trying to undo our previous nedarim. But the principle is still true. When a person feels forced, a person feels obligated, a person feels stuck with no other option, suddenly it's easier to meet our goals. Suddenly the idea of goofing off, the idea of just deadlines make us perform better. Can't study, can't do my work, can't get this in. When the deadline comes, it has to get done. Why? Why did I do this 2 weeks ago and then be able to relax for the last 2 weeks? Because it didn't have to get done. When it has to get done, then it has to get done. What if there's a way for us to make ourselves pick our goals and make them mukhrach, which means make them forced? Lamadnu Mikan, he continues in the third paragraph. Lamadnu Mikan shavroas atma rafoi be'eza inyan berotelis chazik lasos teshuva. A person wants to do better. Avol kavar nochach ladash teshuva so ena machzika mamad. But teshuva hasn't been successful in the past. Ki b'shas yetzer hara leis to midkar leitzer tov. We've said this before. During the throes of a challenge, he's not able to conjure up his conscience. Matakanaso yasa es atmo mukhrach. Make yourself forced. Hainu, what does it mean in practical terms? She is sadder as kol inyanav ba'ofen. She is nahagus haratsuya hi kvar etzlo dievet. Make the behavior that you want to be the default. Make it automatic. Make it that you have no choice but to do it. Hutzarach lekbot alayam, jump into the sea. Kol bekriyas yamsuf. Ba'az b'matzav shel dievet. Once you're already there, you might say hasiyata deshmaya, yimsa hasiyata deshmaya hadrusha. You'll find the strength you need. Lekiyam hachlatasa. As they say, just jump into the pool. Jump into the pool. When you have to swim, you'll swim. The thinking and the imagining, should I, shouldn't I, just jump in and think about it later. Now, it's obviously a dangerous thing to say very broadly, but the idea is if we decide intellectually we want to do this, then jump right in and make yourself forced. Look at the next paragraph, another very practical example. One way to make yourself forced, to make it the default, to make it the automatic, who? Let's darif el sidri harabim. Connect yourself to what the masses are doing. If you're in a society where everyone goes to exercise, and you're the only one not, you'll be embarrassed if you don't. You put yourself in a position where it becomes the default, you'll do a lot better. A person has trouble to learn. And they say, I'm signing up to give a shir, to give a chabura, to give a Mishnah class, to give a Thursday night Avodah Zarah class. If you're giving the shir, you have to give the shir, you have no choice. And if you're not sure if you should sign up, then you jump right in and you sign up, and then you know what? You have to do it. It has to get done. You have no choice anymore. Not sure if I should do more chesed. Not sure if I should do this. When something goes out for a shiva house or a new family, a new baby, just sign up. I don't know if I have time to do the chesed. If you sign up, you will have the time to do the chesed. If you commit to doing something and other people know and there's social pressure to do it, it will get done, because if you don't, then you'll be embarrassed. You'll have failed in your obligation. By making yourself obligated to do it, by taking on a neder, which we're saying not a literal neder, but making yourself obligated by social pressure or commitment, or just because you made yourself obligated to do so, suddenly you find the strength that you have to do it. You have to get it done. He calls us in the next section, Lisrof as hagisharim, burning your bridges, stopping yourself from having any way out. I'll tell you Torah Shebaal Peh outside on page 4 and then going on to page 5, where he says that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He took us the long way. Hashem didn't take us the short way. Why? Pasuk says, Hashem feared if things went wrong, we would turn around and go right back to Mitzrayim. Think of how many times in the desert the Jewish people said, we should go back to Mitzrayim. If they were really close to Mitzrayim, they would have definitely gone back. One of the factors, he says, that stopped them from going back in those moments of weakness was they were so far from Mitzrayim. They said, we're packing our bags, we're out of here. Packing is really annoying, let's just stay till tomorrow. They went to sleep. Next morning, their anger cooled off, and they said, whatever. If you make it easy to go back to the bed, you make it simple to go back to the bed, well, then you're going to find yourself back at the bed at a weak moment or a moment where you're not comfortable and strong. But if you put barriers in your way, say filters on a phone in terms of hours you can use it, or setting boundaries for what time you get to the wedding. If you actually set limits, you make it harder for yourself to get there. You put more steps between you and the challenge. Well, then you're forced to be distant from it. You're forced to observe it because you have no choice. When it comes to mitzvahs, signing up for things, committing things. Then he adds a brilliant example over here on the bottom where I put the asterisk. This is a quote from one of Rav Dessler's Talmidim, Rabbi Moshe Schwab. He says, "Kasher hisparsama hasakana b'shabi'ishon." When it became known in the early 1900s about the dangers of smoking, Rav Dessler was actually addicted to cigarette smoking. Bikesh Rav Dessler on page 5, halfway down. Bikesh Rav Dessler zatzal lahafsik la'ashen. Rav Dessler, once he heard it was usher, because suddenly science had figured out that smoking nicotine was bad for you, he said, "I have to stop smoking." The problem was, he had an addiction to cigarettes. Miyad haya maktim l'chulam. When he would meet people, you know what he would say to them the very first thing? He would say, "Halo yadatim ki yafsakti la'ashen? Did you hear? I quit smoking. Kol mi shenichnas eilav, kidmu b'hoda'a, hifsakti la'ashen." The first thing he would say was, "Did you hear? I finally quit smoking." This Talmud, Rabbi Moshe Schwab, writes, "Hayisi mikarov mikurav eilav." I was felt close enough to ask him, "Sha'altiv lefasher minag zeh, why do you keep telling people you first meet that you quit smoking?" He says, "Hu anali." He answered, "Mikevan sha'asr la'ashen. I've already decided, I already figured out that one is not allowed to smoke. I must stop smoking. Biadati ki yiksha laila hafsik miza. I know how hard it is to quit smoking. Al kein ani modia lechulam ki yafsakti. I start by telling everyone I've quit smoking. B'shuv es bayesh mi bnei adam v'lo e'ashen." Imagine you make your whole greeting to people. You hear I quit smoking? They see you again 2 weeks later. How's that quitting smoking thing going? I give up on it. Forget it. I lost. He's going around publicizing, telling every single person he meets, "You heard I quit smoking?" That pressure means I can't smoke again. How could I possibly smoke again? I've already told everyone that I'm not. Think about overcoming addiction, perhaps the hardest thing a person could do. And he's saying that it helped him. He literally stopped smoking with other factors. But one of the factors was he increased accountability. Think of how different it is when you tell someone, "I joined a shir. I started learning the sefer. I joined this support group. We're learning Shmir Salashin together. I started volunteering at this place." They see you a week later. "How's the volunteering going?" "I got lazy and gave up." You feel an obligation. It's like a neder. It makes you forced. You're burning your bridges. You have no way out. Because when you feel like not going to show up to the volunteer or the shir that you organized, you feel like, "I can't skip on this. People are counting on me. I can't skip on this because people know that I'm doing this and they're expecting me to be successful." What if you have a chavrusim while you're learning? There's accountability there. My chavrusim will know I'm not waking up or I'm not staying up. I'm not being able to meet this demand and they feel like I've ditched them. I have a workout buddy. We do this together. If I ditch them, they're going to hold me accountable. Having accountability from someone else is one of the greatest tools, what Dessler is saying, to encourage us to be able to meet our goals. Let's put it all together. Why is it so hard to make change? Why is it so hard to make Kabbalos? And why year after year do we find ourselves struggling and potentially taking on the same nadar? Why is it we find, no matter how much willpower we have, no matter how sincere and honest we truly want to be better in these areas, it's just so hard to do? So we've explained, number one, there has to be true introspection beforehand to feel that actual charata, that sincerity of, it can't go like this anymore. And here's why, not just to say, "I want to change." I need to change. It has to be founded on that charata. Number two, we have to make sure, because we're not just procrastinating, that the pledges are not just coming from a place of, "I can't think about this right now," or "I'll feel less guilty about this if I have a plan for next time." The plan has to be good, and by that we mean it applies now. Not tomorrow, not another time. One of the greatest things that destroys a diet is that sense of a setback. Rabbi Reisman, I've heard them say this. It's not the first cookie that kills the diet. It's the second cookie. You make a mistake, and you turn around and you say, "That was not part of my plan. Tomorrow, or right now, it's back to the old drawing board." But you say, "Well, I've already had a cookie, so might as well have two cookies and three cookies, and then the whole box of cookies." Next thing you know, you eat the plastic, the Cookie Monster, and the next thing you know, the diet's off till next Sunday or next year. It's January 3rd. Why are you ditching your resolution on January 3rd? It's Sukkot. You just started. So what? Okay, so it didn't work out for the first couple weeks. And what are you going to do about it now? If you're truly resolving to do it, then you're truly resolving to do it now. And if it doesn't work today, then it works the next time you can try. Not, I'll try again next month. The first of the month has already passed. I'll try again next. I've done this before. I'm starting to study at 7 o'clock. Oh, it's 7:01? 8 o'clock. Can't do that. If it's important to study at 7, then it's important to study at 7:01. And if it's important to study at 7:01, it's important to study at 7:02. What difference does that make if 1 minute has already passed? The next hour has to go too? The next week? The next month? The next year? The next decade? How much time has to pass before it's relevant again? If it's relevant today, then it's relevant on the second day of the year and the third day of the year, or if you remember on the 300th day of the year. We have to remember that procrastinating is just another example of, I can't deal with this today, and I'm not dealing with this today. So our kabbalos have to be specific. Our kabbalos have to be measurable. We can't take on too much. Tafasta merubah, lo tafasta. If we take on things that are measurable, they can't just be vague and I'll be better at davening, better at learning, less lashon hara, more friendly, more kind, more patient, better spouse, better parent. Those things are so immeasurable. They don't work. What works is to break it down. Rav Dessler said, to be extreme in the goal, extreme in the passion, extreme in the desire, but then reel yourself in, have the self-control to break it down to a point where you can say, here is how I'm going to be better tomorrow than I was today. Here's how I'm going to measure and tell. Did I take a deep breath before Shmona Esrei? Did I have kavana during the word Atta? Did I point during Atta? Did I learn 5 minutes of Shmiras HaLashon a week? Did I surprise my spouse or friend with a gift once a week? Be measurable, be specific, be clear, be exacting with what it is you want to do. And you'll be able to tell if you're being successful, and you can tell. And if you're not, then make a change. Don't wait till next year. Don't wait till it's all over and we're back again by Rosh Hashanah saying, you know, this year I'm going to make better kabbalas. With nedarim, the power of nedarim, which means locking ourselves in, making ourselves mukhrachim, forced, burning our bridges, not giving ourselves an out, increasing accountability from others. Tell others what you plan to do. Make yourself obligated to someone else. Create a study partner. Put it out somewhere. Post it on Facebook. I don't know. Put something out there where it becomes something you have to do now. Ritz Hashem, if we can follow all these steps, make small, meaningful, specific, measurable, forced goals, Hashem should help us have lasting kabbalos and exiv v'chasim etovah.